Hey guys, Sonny, Hogan, Merry Christmas week coming up.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Listen to this. We're going to talk about Christmas movies here in a little bit. You recognize this?
It's a song from Charlie Brown Christmas or something?
Yes! Charlie Brown Christmas. I don't think, I'm not sure it counts as a Christmas movie because it was a TV special, 1965, I guess, 1965. And then it ran on TV every year consecutively for 66 years, I think.
Wow. I think it counts. It counts as
so? It counts. Yeah, that counts 100%.
Okay. It was Hogan's idea to do a top five Christmas movies, each of us to do a top five. So we're going to talk about that. But nobody named Charlie Brown. How about that?
Oh.
Anyhow, we'll get to that and a little piece of news late this week, right after this, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. All right, big news out of the state of Colorado. Hogan, why don't you take the lead on reacting to this? The Colorado State Supreme Court has said that Donald Trump cannot appear on the primary ballot in 2024 in that state. What's your hot take on this, Hogan?
I don't know that it's hot. It's just an obvious
one. Ooh, your audio is hot. I'll tell you what. Stay away from that.
Well, so they're literally taking him off the ballot.
Can you back off?
He's never been.
Can you back off the?
They're taking him off the ballot for something he's never been charged with.
Right.
It's a crime for which he's never been charged. So that's stupid on its face. But this is like a mirror of these like despicable, desperate, radical liberals who are so angry at the thought or so scared at the thought that Donald Trump is going to beat Joe Biden that they're going to try and take away all the choices on the ballot, but Joe Biden. They're going to force you into voting for Joe Biden, even though the American people don't want him. They don't like him. They don't like his policies. They can't stop Donald Trump. And I guess next stop is the Supreme Court. I think this is where it's going to be played out. But this is so scary, so undemocratic, so pro-dictatorial that I think it's going to backfire on the left in a big way. And I think the other candidates in the Republican field are going to have no choice but to come out and say, this is ridiculous. Donald Trump, of course, should be on the ballot. If they don't, they're more done than they already are. They're down 40 points. They're going to be down 70 points if they do that. And so I just can't believe it. I mean, maybe it's the weed factor out there in Colorado when they legalize it. I don't know what it is. But like
I didn't consider that. That could be.
Could be.
It's it's kind of an extension of they don't want any dissenting ideas. It's like their censorship stuff. It's like banning dissenting voices on Twitter or YouTube or places like that. I mean, it's astounding. And it's here's the Colorado Supreme. Not only are they trying to convict him of a crime that he was never charged with, they're convicting him in state court of a federal crime that he was never charged with.
Right.
All the way across the country. This has nothing to do with Colorado.
Yeah.
It's all, it's all manufactured and made up. And you'd think that they would like to believe that their ideas could win in the arena of ideas. But obviously they don't think that because they're trying to limit who their opponents can even be. Sonny, what are you hearing out there?
I've seen just crazy stuff on Twitter talking about, everyone's praising this, saying, Trump's so anti-democratic. I'm so glad this is happening. Is being anti-democratic.
Can you believe? Are they trying to be ironic or not?
I don't know. But what Hogan was saying too about how this affects the other contenders. I mean, can you imagine being one of the primary challengers right now? This happening, you just got to think to yourself, now I got to put out a statement in support of my opponent. And if I
again,
don't, yes, again, and what they have to know that all this is going to do is just make his polls go, his favorability go way up. he's leaving the contenders way in the dust. But yeah, just imagine being one of them today. I mean, you know, they're just sitting there like, seriously.
I know. What are we going to do? This is what we always talk about. Now, I think the United States Supreme Court will overturn this. I hope that they do.
They better.
And I don't think you shouldn't even need a conservative court to overturn this nonsense. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But like you're saying, Sonny, my gosh, what these other people, like we've talked about so many times, these other candidates, they must just think, what do I have to do? You know, every moment of this campaign has been about Donald Trump, of course. Yep. And these people travel the country, crisscrossing everywhere else. And everywhere they go, they get asked about Donald Trump. You see, Nikki Haley blew up at Jonathan Carl the other day. Saying, what are you guys are? You're exhausting. He asked her about, and I know John Carl, he's all right guy. He asked her about something that Trump had said about immigration. And she said, you guys are exhausting. She's like, I'm fed up. I'm tired of answering questions about Trump. It must just be exasperating.
Okay, but if they didn't ask about the leading candidate in the primary, in the field, then they would not really be doing their due diligence. You have to be asked about your competitors.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for the however many Republicans are left in the field, but Donald Trump is the story. At the beginning of the day on the campaign trail, he's the story. And by the time everybody goes to bed on the campaign trail, he's still the story. And it's going to be
as he is tonight.
Same thing tomorrow and the day after and the day after. It's pretty remarkable. Hogan, you're going to say something?
No, I'm infuriated by the whole thing. It's just so stupid. These people are such idiots.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny that the tone of the media coverage, it's the media, the attitude of the tone, sort of the position of the media coverage is how grave this is. This is very serious. This is unprecedented, blah, 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 blah. If it were Republicans trying to keep Democrats off ballots in different states, it would be reported on with shock and outrage, you know, in an unprecedented maneuver designed to prevent voters from having a choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the way it's presented is completely opposite, depending on
first whether it's photo identification for voting. Now just kicking back people off the ballot. I mean, that's what it would be.
Right. That's exactly what the anti-democracy Republicans are at it again.
But this opens a big, I think this opens a Pandora's box, much like the tit for tat now we're seeing with impeachment, although I'd argue, obviously, impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden are warranted where no crime was even alleged in Donald Trump's. Here you're looking at the same situation where, all right, you guys want to play that game. I guess we need to start trying to get you off the ballot in some of these states and see how you'd like that. So, you can do it in Texas for saying, hey, you're not really following the federal law by allowing our border to be open. So I guess we'll just ballot Joe Biden, see how that goes over.
I mean, it's just really amazing. And at the same time, the media is all mad at Trump for his criticism of the immigration problem instead of highlighting the guy who caused the immigration problem.
Of course.
You know, it's just anyway, it's maddening and it never stops. But
I think of all the things we wanted to do before Christmas to kind of send our wonderful listeners off with something fun to think about and talk about, this derailed the whole point of this show.
I know.
But the point of the show was something we had talked about offline, because people may not know this, but actually know Sonny and Tim outside of this podcast, and we actually communicate.
Yeah.
We're actually friends.
We do. Sometimes. We do text. Yep. We're not contractually
obligated to talk on this podcast, but... Although Tim's trying to make us all contractual obligated, Sonny.
I know.
What's that about?
What's that about? So what we wanted to do was, in the spirit of Christmas here, with just a few days left before Christmas, was to talk about our top five Christmas movies. I was going to do three, but there's no way I could do three. So I just kind of said, let's do five.
Yeah, I had to force myself to come up with five.
Well,
I'm going to sound like a Grinch throughout this whole thing. And I'm sorry, I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. I love the birth of Jesus, all of it.
Happy birthday, baby Jesus.
She doesn't do, you don't do Santa.
I don't do Santa.
Yeah, that's right. Something we discovered last week that you don't do Santa.
I'm very bad about watching Christmas movies. So I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let me first correct you on something. It was a meme I saw over the weekend that was perfect. And it said, The Grinch didn't hate Christmas. He hated people. And that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I was like, yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Hey, you're, if you could, your microphone is still a little bit hot, Hogan.
Me?
Yeah, a little bit hot. Just aim it away.
Move it away. Move it away further.
That's probably good. So who wants to go first? I have here in front of me our three top five Christmas movies lists, one for each of you.
I'm not going first.
Sonny, you want to go first?
Sure. Yes, I can go first.
There's a couple. Let's go five through one. Start with number five.
With number five. Okay.
And so I have some clips here. So I'm going to let me play the clip for your number five. Okay. Although you have let me play the clip and then you explain why. Okay. When you sent it to me, you said you actually did not even like this movie. Okay. Did you feel like you needed to come up with five and that's why you put it on the list or what?
Yes.
You don't have to do five.
You could have left it. Go ahead. But anyway, all right, here's the clip. This is brief. See if you can recognize it.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh?
No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
That, of course, yes, is Will Ferrell in Elf. And you don't like it.
Okay, I had it as my number five because sometimes I hate it. Sometimes I don't mind it. I really have to be in the mood for Will Ferrell. I think he's hilarious in Anchorman. Those movies just kill me. But like in Step Brother and some other movies, I'm just like, oh, you're a grown man acting like this. So I know I sound like a Democrat giving this answer right now, but sometimes I like Elf, sometimes I don't.
All right, fair enough. Well, the Elf is the only movie that appears on all three of our lists.
Oh.
I had Elf at number four. Hogan had it at number five, just like you, and you had it at number five, of course.
Good.
Number four, explain what this is.
Four Christmases?
Four Christmases. I'm not
familiar with this one.
Yeah, with Reese Witherspoon and the guy. I don't know the guy.
I met him one time.
Did you really?
At the national championship football game with Trump.
Vince Vaughn. What's his name?
Vince Vaughn. And Tim McGraw. I met them both there. He's in that too.
Gosh, he is, yeah. That's a funny movie. I like that. I just watched that the other day.
Okay.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Family angst around Christmas, basically.
I see. Okay, that's a good theme. Family angst around Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Very unrelatable for most people.
Nobody experiences that. And Jon Favreau, I like him.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cast here.
Who did Elf also.
He did. That's right. I heard him interviewed about Elf, and they're really surprised at the success.
You know who the head elf is?
Me too. Who?
Ed Asner?
No, when he asked, well, he asked, that's Santa.
Santa. Mm-hmm.
Buddy the elf, Will Ferrell, asks, like, he's like, one of the big elf, the head elf comes in, he's like, hey, how many Etch-a-Sketches did you make, or whatever he was making?
And oh, like, yes, Bob Newhart.
No, not him. That's the dad, that's his dad. Okay. It's Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. It's he and Jon Favreau are very close friends, so he's in a lot of his movies.
No kidding. How about that? Boy, this is great. This is like going to school here. This is awesome. All right. Now, this is definitely one that I have absolutely never heard of. Christmas, Four Christmases, I could vaguely remember hearing about that. This one is called Prep and Landing.
Yes. Hogan, have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, Prep and Landing came out. It was a mini series, or I think it might have been like a mini movie or something, but it came out probably when I was in middle school, maybe. I could have been a little bit younger, but it came out on Disney right before Christmas, and I was still young enough that it seemed very magical to me, even though I was probably in middle school. I have a younger brother, so we were all into it.
Much younger brother.
Not Eli. No, this was Baker. Not Eli. He was only four years younger than me. Okay. Yeah, Eli, I'm 20 years older then. But no, so it's an animated little short film, and it's about elves and they're Santa's helpers, and it's really cute. And my family loved watching it. We had it recorded. Yep. And then they came out with new ones, I think. But back when DVR, we had just gotten DVR, I'm pretty sure.
And, it says here they are a high-tech team of elves from an elite unit known as Prep and Landing.
So my brother and my dad really liked it, and so I was like, well, I guess I like it too.
Oh, well, good.
So nice. This is like Delta Force elves or something,
yeah,
more or less?
I think so. Yeah, they save Christmas a couple times. Yeah. It's cute. Yeah, Tim, you should let your kids watch it. They probably like it.
I've never heard of it. I like that stuff.
Okay.
And then my number two.
Hold on. I have a clip for this one, too.
You're doing clips for all of these?
Not all of them, just the good ones. And not that Prep and Landing isn't a good one, but one that, like, there's an obvious.
Sure it is.
Well, you coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course.
This is the Polar Express.
Okay. Any guesses?
I know what that one is.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
What draws you to that one, Sunny?
Same thing. My family liked that one a lot. And my adult brother actually the other day got mad at me for watching this without the family. But I watched it. We made some homemade hot chocolate, and I made homemade whipped cream for the first time in my life.
Yeah,
man. I felt pretty like wifely there.
Pro tip, add bourbon to it.
Oh, I added vanilla.
To whipped cream?
Yeah.
How did
to make a bourbon whipped cream?
I've never tasted bourbon before, so I don't know if I would like it.
Okay, well, if you're going to try it, let me tell you something. Being inculcated with whipped cream is probably the best place to start.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. But yeah,
another good movie. Well, who doesn't like, everybody likes Tom Hanks, right? Is there a person?
I don't like that movie.
I think that movie's kind of, to be honest with you,
it's weird.
Hogan. I creepy. Think it's kind of it's creepy. The way the animation is weird, the characters are just shaped weird, and the animation is funny. And the Tom Hanks character is kind of evil seeming, like there's an undercurrent of evil with him.
Yeah.
I think. I just don't like it.
Have your kids seen it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I've had to sit through large chunks of it. I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through.
I'm sorry, Tim.
All right. And then your last one, your number one, Sonny.
This is two.
And No, that was Polar Express was number two.
I thought, wait.
No, so we went Elf number five, Four Christmases at number four.
Oh, Four Christmases. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Prep and Landing, and then Polar Express. And then
you're running this.
In the top spot. Here we go. This is not a clip. It's the music.
You're a mean one.
Yes.
Mr. Grinch. Yeah.
The OG only the original animated version. Yes.
Yeah. So what about this one? Why do you like this?
This one was my dad's favorite movie at Christmas. So we always watched it, and we would watch it probably the night before Christmas. This and Frosty the Snowman. So this one always just makes me think of being a little kid and Christmas. But I hate the new one.
With Jim Carrey?
Yes. Oh.
Ugh. Well,
I kind of like that one.
I do too. That's actually, that one's on my list. So let me, right. Hogan, you let me, how do I stop this thing? Stop. Grinchy. There you go. So Hogan, let me go next, because your number one, I think probably goes down as maybe like the all timer. So it works out better for the show for you to wrap it up. So, number five for me has already been mentioned. I have a clip for this one too, I think. So this has already been mentioned. This is number five, and this is an all-timer, I think.
Thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas. Get the cool boy in the hammer, Ralphie. Fragile. It must be Italian.
Well, I think that says fragile, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's a Christmas Story, which is a classic. I actually visited. Do you know that you can tour that house that's in Cleveland? Have you ever been there, Hogan?
You know, not been there, but I knew you could tour it, only because I know a little bit about the lore of this movie as demonstrated in this podcast already with Peter Billingsley being in Elf also. Yeah, I love that movie. That's a great choice.
I haven't seen it.
It's on my list too.
What? Yeah, you have it on your list too. You have it. Yours at number two. I have mine at number five.
What is it again? Sonny,
you've never seen it. It's called A Christmas Story.
Is it
it's
on?
Classic. It's on Netflix, like 24 hours a day. Oh, yeah. I don't know where
it is. It's the one that's on TBS 24 hours a day before Christmas.
Yeah. It's about the little blonde kid with glasses. He wants a Red Ryder pellet gun, right? BB gun for BB Christmas. Gun. You'll put your eye out, kid. The famous leg lamp. Have you ever seen the leg lamps, Sonny?
Yeah.
A woman's leg in the fishnet stockings that's where it's from.
That's what was in that box. The fragile, he was saying, that was in the box.
The little boy's father won a contest, and they sent his big prize was this leg lamp. And it says fragile on the box. He says, oh, fragile. It must be Italian. Yes. You know.
Okay, have you seen the new one?
I'll watch it.
Have you seen the new one?
No, I knew there was a follow-up to it. Yeah.
I've seen it on planes, and then now it's out free on demand. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because at first it takes place in the 70s or the 60s.
Yeah. Where the 60s.
Yeah. And I was going, well, they mentioned Nixon, I think, a couple times. Anyway, could have been the 60s. Anyway, I was going, why is it not modern day? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Because when they were kids, it was like the 50s or whatever, right? It took me a while to kind of grasp that. But it brings everyone back from the original cast almost. But the premise is the father, this is a spoiler alert, so if anyone's listening, you don't want to hear it. The father in real life, as everyone knows, passed away. So they had to write that as part of the storyline. Was that's why Ralphie had to go back home, was because his father had passed away.
I see.
So it's not bad. It's enjoyable.
It's a good movie. Yeah. It's set in the 1940s, it says here.
There you go.
In the 1940s, a young boy named Ralphie Parker attempts to convince his parents, teacher, and Santa Claus that a Red Ryder Range 200-shot BB gun really is the perfect Christmas present. Mm. That's a classic. Really good one. Number three for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm skipping. Number five is that one we were just talking about, Christmas Story. Number four, I had Elf, which I think is really – I would watch that any time of year. And number three, I'm sorry, Sonny, but I have the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas on my list. I think – honestly, I like Jim Carrey some of the time, kind of like you are with Will Ferrell. I don't like everything that Jim Carrey did, but in this case, I think he makes a pretty good Grinch. I like it. And I think the makeup and everything for the Who's in Whoville is pretty awesome.
I agree.
It's, really, it's like a whole, they really do a good job of creating a weird universe there. And
bringing the cartoon to life.
Yeah. They did. As they say.
I was impressed.
Yes, I was impressed. Now, this next one, so The Grinch was number three for me, the Jim Carrey version. Number two, Hogan, you have this on your list also, is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Which is Sonny, you're disgusted. You have a look of disgust on your face.
She's disgusted.
I literally just told Sam the other day, oh, I hate that movie.
Why?
I think because there's more of them that I don't know, something about it. I'm just like,
more. You don't like the vacation series of movies?
Yeah. And they say bad words in those movies.
Well, that's the thing. I have a clip from this one too, but there's a cuss word in it. So I don't know if I should play it. What do you think?
Is it a bad cuss word?
It's the worst cuss word. Well, I mean, it's the F word, isn't it?
Oh, well,
that's not really very good. I'm not going to play it, but
this is a family friendly place. Unmute and say
beep when it happens.
Yeah, I would have had to edit a beep into it and edit.
Oh,
I didn't want to do that. Anyway, it's Chevy Chase, and so we're all familiar with that. I can't believe you don't like it. But
I'm sorry, Hogan. I'm sorry. I mean, no disrespect towards you.
Okay, and then my number one is, I'm going to combine two movies into one for my number one Christmas movie of all time, and that is Home Alone 1 and 2. I think they are equally as good as each other. The first one is when his family goes away and leaves him stranded at home in suburban Chicago. And Home Alone 2 is when he finds his way to New York and stays at the Plaza Hotel. This is a little clip from a scene in the hallways of near the lobby of the Plaza.
Please tell me it's still, yes.
Logan's already laughing.
Excuse me, where's the lobby?
Down the hall and to the left.
Thanks.
Okay, that's the shortest clip we have. That, of course, was little Kevin asking for directions from the guy. He plays, he's kind of a walk-on in the movie, but the man who at the time owned the Plaza Hotel, one Donald J. Trump.
That's a good one.
That's an all-timer. He did a number of movie cameos over the years.
And I struggled with this because now that we started saying The Grinch and then Home Alone, I wanted Home Alone on there somewhere. Elf and Home Alone, I go back and forth. I can watch them any time of year, right? Right. Like you said, sometimes I like Will Ferrell. I do. I think he's funny. I like his sense of humor, but sometimes I get it, Sonny, so I understand.
You just can't take it all the time.
But also, those criminals are so stupid in Home Alone. Like, come on. These are the dumbest criminals ever. But I do like the defending it thing, you know, defending your house and everything. So I like that part of it.
Yeah, it's also, like the Castle Doctrine, right? The Castle Doctrine.
Do what?
It's like the Castle Doctrine. You're allowed to protect your home.
Yes, and premises, yes, of course. Right?
Yeah.
One that we didn't talk about that isn't on the list either, but isn't on anybody's list. I like A Muppet Christmas Carol.
I thought about that. Yeah, I love the Muppets.
A good one.
Muppets are always good.
They are. Oh, okay. So let me do my list.
So you go. So Hogan, take it away.
Five on my list was Elf, which is shared by a couple people here.
Everybody. Now this one I've never heard of. This one I don't know.
Four. And actually, four and three probably could switch. Four is called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's my new favorite one. And it came out in 2017. And it basically chronicles a famous actor who was in Downton Abbey. And he is Charles Dickens. And he's writing a Christmas Carol. So it's a period. It's a period piece, some would say, in the Screen Actors Guild. And it's funny, but it's heartwarming. It's good. And it's got some little like tidbits from what was going on at the time in England. And I just find it to be, I just love a Christmas story type, Christmas Carol movies. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is one that it takes kind of the writing of it. And every time he comes up with a character in his head, every time he comes up with the name, the person appears. So the person basically follows him around the whole movie at different spots. So Scrooge comes into the movie and then he's like with him throwing out like insults like halfway through, you know, through the movie. It's interesting. So is there a clip or no?
I do not have a clip.
Okay. Third is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which we all said.
That's an all-time classic, Sonny.
All-time classic,
not
Sonny.
Not all of us.
Two is A Christmas Story.
Hold on. Don't say that I have for the last one, for your last one, I have a clip.
Okay. I won't say the last one, but the second one's A Christmas Story. I love the son. My dad gave me a shotgun in a similar fashion. Aww. So that kind of is a real moment for me. Mm-hmm. And then number one is an all-timer. And I would argue one of the all-time greatest movies of all time, even, and some people say it's not even a Christmas movie, but I think it is.
Yeah, I think
It is. You're gonna play the clip first, or do you mean?
Yeah. Okay. No, let me play the clip. Here it is.
Okay, you play.
Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, movie house. Merry Christmas, Emporium. Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone.
Cracks me up. Not only great, one of the great movies of all time, I think top three actors of all time. Jimmy Stewart, fantastic.
Sonny, Hogan, do you like that movie?
It's all right, but I thought you were going to say.
Well, you can't just blow right past. It's a wonderful life.
Blow right past. It's got it all. It's funny. It's very dark. To be able to see what the world will be like without you is that quintessential struggle that most people have is your life worth anything? And someone comes up to show you all the people you've affected in your life. It's just such a great movie. But anyway, go blow past it, Sonny. What you got?
It is good. But what I was going to say was off subject. I was going to say that no one said Die Hard.
Well, I had a list of movies that did not make the list that we could talk about. Die Hard is one of them. Die Hard is like, that is a hot dog a sandwich kind of question, right? People always say, oh, Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
A hot dog is not a sandwich.
Well, I didn't mean to, you know, stir up trouble. But
here we go.
A hot dog is not a sandwich.
We've derailed.
Yeah. But definitely not. I mean, do you truly, joking aside and Twitter, you know, clickbait aside, do you really consider Die Hard to be a Christmas movie?
All joking aside, I have never seen Die Hard.
God,
oh my gosh.
How could see Have you seen, wait, hold on, let me ask you. Have you seen five Christmas movies in total?
Yes, I've seen my five that I sent. Mm. And I've seen the Lampoon one. Mm. You know, I do like in that movie when he does the whole house and the lights.
Yes.
That's a good scene. That's a good scene. All right. But I was going to watch Die Hard the other night, but you have to pay for it.
And I was, I don't know what land that is. Netflix.
On Amazon.
All right, Tim, is it a Christmas movie or no?
I don't think so. I think it's a terrorism action movie that happens to occur at Christmas. It doesn't, the story itself doesn't have anything to do with Christmas.
I lean a little bit towards it is Christmassy only because, like, if he puts on the thing, I have a machine gun now. Ho, ho, ho. Like, it's Christmassy.
Totally Christmas.
You know?
Whatever.
I don't really care about the debate. I can see the argument on both sides. I don't really care, but, you know, whatever. It's fine.
I mean, you throw in a couple of references to, I don't know what, rugby or something. Does it make it a rugby movie?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, another one that my wife suggested, Love Actually, which I've never seen.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
I've seen parts of it.
I think I've seen parts of movies.
For me, all of those like 90s Hugh Grant movies, it was like one long movie. If you put them all together, it would make it like one 12-hour movie.
And then they broke them up and called it the Hallmark Channel.
Right.
Wait, Hogan, what was the name of your movie with the guy from Downton Abbey?
The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Yeah, that one I think I'll check out because I like
it. Me too.
Honestly, and I've told a lot of people about it, and they'll always call me and be like, man, that was really good. That was entertaining. I was like, yeah. Kind of fun, and he's so good in it. But you know, another Christmas movie we didn't say, but I like this version of it for some reason. And there are a lot of versions I like because I said a Muppet Christmas Carol. I like a Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey in the animated one.
I like that one too. Oh.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Didn't know it was intense.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's pretty intense.
Does he play Scrooge? Who's he?
He plays Scrooge. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's all animated, but it's good it's animation. Scary. And who's the guy that plays Bob Cratchit?
Kermit.
He was also. I was gonna throw a Harry Potter reference, which no one on this thing would get.
Try me. I'm pretty good with Harry Potter. I bet you that's.
He's a he's Sirius Black.
Oh yeah, Sirius Black. Harry's godfather, right?
Yeah, that's who plays Bob Cratchit.
Oh, the actor who plays Sirius Black.
Yeah,
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another version of A Christmas Carol that I like. With Bill Murray, Scrooged.
Oh, I love Scrooge. Yes, maybe we should have made this a top 10, not for Stunny, but for us.
It's kind of tough. I know it's tough to keep it to five. Scrooge is a really good one. Bill Murray is one of my favorites ever. That's probably a little before your time, Sonny.
I don't know if I've seen that.
He puts that vodka in that glass from a camera and goes to put the tab in it. Tab the soft drink.
Yeah,
and he's like this, and he jumps one drop, and he just starts drinking it. That cracks me up every time.
And then Charlie Brown Christmas. I guess that doesn't count as a movie, like I said at the beginning.
It counts.
I love that. Charlie, it makes me feel, I don't know, it's like putting on a favorite sweatshirt or something, you know, something very comfortable about Charlie Brown and Charlie Brown Christmas.
Real quick on that one. There's a character from SNL, a reoccurring character. He's not there anymore, but he used to be there, and he was on the update desk, and he was Jebediah Atkinson, where he would critique movies, but he was he was like from the 1700s. So he would critique movies and tell you how horrible they were. And it was all of he did everything from like, you know, the speech from Abraham Lincoln to, you know, but he does the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and he makes a joke. I don't remember the punchline, but it's something about, oh yeah, like all I want to do is Christmas is sit around and watch depressed kids like in a Zoloft commercial walking in the snow to slow jazz. Like next, and like he does like the next, and I'm like, now every time I hear that song you play at the beginning, all I can think of is that bit where he just rips.
That's funny.
Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Yeah, where it is. Here it is. We can hear you typing, Sonny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's good that you're engaged in the podcast, though. That's good. appreciate that.
Hey, I'm all that.
She's been watching these movies. What's she doing?
Yeah, I know. Well, she's busy, you know, obviously. Very busy. So that's good. I think this is fun. This is a good use of our time. So to recap, Sunny, not only does she never do Santa Claus, not even for her children, she also has never seen It's a Wonderful Life or Die Hard.
No, I've seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, you have? I thought you said
yeah.
Have.
How old were you when you saw it?
I saw it last year.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there was another popular one that I hadn't seen.
Christmas Story.
Oh, A Christmas Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. I don't know. You know, is A Christmas Story aimed at more aimed at guys? Do you think?
I think so.
Yeah. It's more of like a boy's Christmas
movie. I mean, I like guns.
Well, yeah, but hold on. You have a son, right?
I do have a son.
Okay, so see, this is something this are the arguments son, like the little kids argue about things and all this and joke and pull pranks and bullies and the whole thing.
Get each other to lick the frozen light
bulb. Yeah. So you're going to have to learn all this stuff.
And two brothers, so I feel like I'm good with the boy movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what this is. Plus, yeah, the Christmas Vacation movie is kind of a male-oriented thing, too.
Probably.
No, probably. Yes. It's like Caddyshack at Christmas time.
Well, it's the same, same people, I think, isn't it?
Same, a lot of, so at least one of them, anyway, the big star. So that's pretty good. Guys, big plans coming up for Christmas? You doing any traveling? What's the story?
I'm staying here.
Sonny, good for you. Hogan,
yeah, my family's here.
I'm going to Sonny's great state because my mom lives in that state too.
That's
nice. It is a great state.
Yeah, and I was just there. My mom had a little thing done. I was with her and then took care of her for a day. And now I'm back up to D.C. and then back down to North Carolina on Saturday. And, you know, do all the Christmas stuff there and whatever.
That's cool.
Tim, what are you doing?
Where I'm going to go, I'm taking my boys to see my parents for a couple days before Christmas because we are going to do Christmas at home here in Virginia with just our little family here in Virginia, just us, because the next day we have to go to Dulles Airport because we're going to Iceland for 5 days.
Whoa. Isn't there a volcano floating there right now?
Oh, well, you know, we've been watching and paying attention to it for, we booked this trip months ago. And after that is when they developed this little volcano problem that they have there. And so we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And a lot of the tourist attractions are closed because of the imminent eruption. And it finally erupted, thank God. So maybe
there are two things I wish you'd have said there.
What?
First of all, when she said, what are you doing? I wish you would have said, well, all of our family are coming to our house for Christmas. I'm putting up all the light, like a total Christmas vacation thing is what I was hoping you were going to say. And then also I wanted you to say, yeah, we weren't even going to go to Iceland, but then we found out this thing was going to erupt and we have to go. Like, that's why we're going.
We just made plans to go.
I told my kids, you're never going to see a volcano erupt except for this trip.
Yeah.
So it's an indefinite trip.
Tim, why did you pick Iceland to go to?
I didn't. My wife did. She said she's always wanted to go there. She knows some people. And for a little while, I remember looking on Facebook and seeing lots of people that I know had been taking trips there. So that's like this new.
You can see cool, the Northern Lights.
Right. That's where we're going. They only have 4 hours of sunlight a day.
Really?
This time of year. Yeah. Sunrise is like at 11:30 in the morning and sunset's like 3:15 in the afternoon.
I could never.
I cannot wait for this podcast when he gets back from Iceland.
It was awful.
I can't wait.
We hope the thing you want to go to is called the Blue Lagoon, and it's hot springs fed by the lava, you know? And so it could be negative 30 degrees outside, and you go sit in the hot springs, and it's supposed to be awesome. But when they were worried about the volcano, it was closed. So that's like one of the reasons to go is to go to the Blue Lagoon, I think it's called.
You could just go find a hotel with an outdoor hot tub in the mountains of Virginia.
I could find that in McLean, Virginia.
Yeah, so I mean,
don't need to go that far. So, all right. Well, good times. That was fun going through all that stuff, and I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, Sonny and Hogan.
You too, Tim.
You too.
And Hogan.
I appreciate it. Yeah. And to all listeners, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Holidays to everybody as well. This has been the Line Drive Podcast.